NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Weilin Wong.
And I'm Adrian Ma. And it is once again time for Indicators of the Week.
Joining us today for our weekly up-close and personal examination of economic headlines is our esteemed Planet Money colleague, Mary Childs. Welcome, Mary.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Mary is with us today to talk about numbers from the news. And this week, we are looking at three indicators from President Biden's proposed economic agenda for the next year. And, you know, if he gets reelected, beyond that. So he laid out some of these proposals in the State of the Union address he did recently. And now he's on the campaign trail pitching it to voters. And Republicans are also starting to balk at the price tag for some of these things.
All right. But where does Biden stand on spice production on the desert planet of Arrakis?
What now?
Oh, we have a Dune fan, I see.
Yeah, have you guys seen it?
No, I haven't.
No? All right. Let's just get on with the indicators then.
This message comes from NPR sponsor HubSpot. More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Doing business has never felt harder. But you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You just need HubSpot. Because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: higher quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
This message comes from Apple Card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase. That's 3% on products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch. Subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Indicators of the Week, Bidenomics edition. Mary, you can kick us off.
So my number this week is $10, because I don't know how closely you all follow my byline, but I did just do a Planet Money episode where I go shopping for the very best benefits that governments around the world are offering to parents, since the ones here in the U.S. are, some might suggest, total garbage.
Is that the official economic term?
Yeah, there are metrics for that. And one of those metrics is childcare, which is affordable and accessible in Sweden, Estonia, Germany, so many places. Our next door neighbor, Canada, is actually working on this. It has been rolling out a $10 a day childcare program. Now, I should say that program has not been without its flaws. I mentioned it on the show and I got a lot of emails from what I think were some very upset Canadians, although it was hard for me to tell because they were so polite about it. But they were saying that, you know, they've been on these wait lists that are terribly long and the rollout has been slow and uneven. And I hear all of that. I do. It does suck. But I just want to gently point out that they are on a wait list for something that exists and, like, their government is trying. Whereas for me, I don't even have a wait list for anything government subsidized. So, oh, and just one more final point on that. I do still pay more, not to be too competitive.
Oh, so there's, like, literally nothing like this for us?
There are federal programs like Head Start that are available for people at or below the poverty line. And a few states do have programs, like New Mexico has universal pre-K. But in general, until kindergarten, the federal standard is that you are on your own. And for, say, infant care, that can cost like $15,000 a year, which comes out to about $60 a day. But mere days after my episode of Planet Money came out, which mentioned Canada's $10 a day efforts, Joe Biden, the president, gave the State of the Union and he said,
imagine a future with affordable child care. Millions of families can get they need to go to work.
And then Vice President Kamala Harris tweeted that she and Joe were trying to cap child care costs at $10 a day for the average family and make preschool free for all four-year-olds.
Do you think they listened to your show, Mary? Did you do this? Did you single-handedly pull this off?
I think this is my impact. Yeah, I do. I mean, it's in their interest. They want to stay globally competitive. Like, thank you for getting in the game.
And so how are they going to do this?
Okay, great question. It kind of feels right now more like intention than actual plan. There are a few real levers they can pull, though. Like, they just issued a rule to cap childcare costs at 7% of income for families that already get help under a federal grant. But otherwise, I will be watching with bated breath.
Well, Mary, while you hold your breath, aspiring homeowners may also have reason for hope. That brings me to my indicator. It is $10,000. That is what President Biden wants to give you if you are sitting pretty in your starter home. Maybe you, Adrian?
I am in a starter home. This is true. I don't know how pretty I'm sitting, though. You've got my attention at money, though.
So this $10,000, that's a tax credit, and it's one of many ideas the administration is proposing to reduce the cost of housing, especially, you know, with mortgage rates above 7% that we're seeing.
If inflation keeps coming down, mortgage rates will come down as well, and the Fed acknowledges that. But I'm not waiting.
Well, I'm waiting to find out what what the proposal is.
Let me know, man.
So this maximum $10,000 tax credit is for people who sell their starter home, and it's meant as an incentive to tackle an issue that we've talked about on the indicator before, mortgage lock-in.
Right, right. So that's the situation where homeowners don't want to sell their homes because otherwise they'd have to give up the low interest rates that they have on their current home mortgage.
Exactly. And, you know, mortgage lock-in disrupts the kind of natural progression you want in a healthy housing market, right? Where a first-time homeowner buys a starter home like you did, Adrian, then, you know, maybe their family grows or they have more income and they trade up to a bigger home. And then that makes the starter home available to, like, the next batch of homeowners.
So with all these mortgage lock-ins, there are fewer starter homes available in the market.
Bingo. And so that's what this proposed $10,000 tax credit is supposed to help fix. The White House defines starter home, by the way, as one that's priced below the median home price wherever it's located. And then to get the tax credit, people will have to sell their home to someone who's also planning to live there.
Okay. Time to ramp up my Zillow stalking then, I guess.
Classic American pastime. So we have heard so far about a proposal to fund childcare and to give tax credits to people trying to sell their homes. Of course, a question that hangs over all this is how would the government actually pay for this? And in large part, what the Biden plan is proposing is to raise taxes on wealthy individuals and corporations.
I'm a capitalist. If you want to make or can make a million or millions of bucks, that's great. Just pay your fair share in taxes.
Everybody knows that's in the first page of the capitalism handbook, right? To pay your fair share in taxes.
You mean the Constitution?
Okay, all right.
We're going to go there.
So just, you know, focusing on the on one part of Biden's proposal is changing the corporate tax from 21%, which it is now, to 28%. And that is my indicator, 28%. I mean, it's a pretty sizable increase in the tax rate for corporations, or it would be, I should say. And on Monday, the Treasury Department put out this report outlining dozens of proposed tax changes, which it says would bring in about $5 trillion to the government over the next decade. And more than half that amount, they say, would come from these proposed corporate tax changes.
Okay. But how reasonable is this? Congress is divided. This would be a huge change from the last tax reform, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act in 2017.
Right. Donald Trump was president at the time. Republicans controlled both chambers of Congress, and one of the big features of that tax law they passed was lowering the maximum corporate tax rate from around 35% to 21%, which it is now. And at the time, the Trump administration argued that, look, the U.S. has one of the highest corporate tax rates in the world. We need to lower it. You look at Canada, again, for instance, they have a corporate tax rate of 15%, and the Republicans basically claimed at the time that reducing business taxes would trickle down to you and me.
No, not the trickle down.
It also sounds gross.
Yeah. And, you know, economists are continuing to evaluate whether this has actually been happening. There's an interesting recent working paper from economists that found Americans did see a slight wage bump as a result of these tax cuts, which might have been several hundred dollars in recent years. But that is pretty far off from the several thousand dollars that folks in the Trump administration claimed at the time the law was passed. So that is one legacy of these tax cuts. Another is that according to the Congressional Budget Office, these tax cuts are adding more than $100 billion a year to the national debt. And that is during a time when corporate profits are rising. That is it for this Biden budget edition of Indicators of the Week. Thanks so much, Mary, for coming on and highlighting the garbage state of childcare affordability in America.
They don't have childcare on Dune.
You don't want to raise a kid on Arrakis, let me tell you.
Do they have taxes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's like the whole thing about the series, right? Because it's all about like controlling this natural resource, a very precious natural resource, because the spice on Arrakis, which is harvested there, is what...
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Julia Ritchie with engineering by Valentina Rodriguez Sanchez. It was fact-checked by Sierra Juarez. Cake and Cannon edits the show, and The Indicator's a production of NPR.
Very valuable resource. And then there's giant sandworms.
I think you've sold us, Waylon.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift has dropped a new album. She is the biggest pop star in the world, and everything she does makes news.
I gasped. I was like, oh my God, I've been there, and you can identify with it.
For a breakdown of Taylor Swift and her new album, The Tortured Poets Department, listen to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Capella University. With Capella's FlexPath learning format, you can earn your degree online at your own pace and get support from people who care about your success. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Support for NPR and the following message come from FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.